Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Of course, we always love hearing from you and some of your thoughts that we have here on the show. So as we get ready to shift gears and get into all things to do with Careers Corner, we do want to get a few of your thoughts and, of course, some feedback on the conversations we've been having very briefly. So, Rifilwe, SS Duma, Mbuso, I see you. Let's hear what many of you have had to say on the show tonight.
I think from my side, I would say I cancelled my multi-phase subscription a long time ago. However, I think I'm going to need it again, because as much as I've got like other alternatives, I think like for local content, so it's only for that reason. And only I would also just focus on the streaming packages. Otherwise, all good, but I'm just not happy with the pricing, of course. So yeah, that's all.
Multi-choice. Hi, Tina, we cancelled our subscription, I think, early last year because of the quality that we get now, especially when it comes to our movies and all of this other stuff. Yeah, there was only one thing that was interesting, that we could watch soccer at any time, any day, you know? Yeah, but now, as in fit, you know. Yeah, but we do have other streaming services like your Netflix, your... At least they are benefiting, because we do have Showmax, and then YouTube. We watch all of those. So, yeah. But your Nanje, would you see subscribe and have it? Nah, not anymore.
Hello, Kuku. I mean, ngagcina ukubukela iDStv the time kusadlala isibaya, so khona manje ama satellite ahlobisile nje la endlini. iDStv bafiwe abantu abayibukelayo khona manje. Inkinga ukuthi nabantu beDStv banenkani, because ngiyakhumbula ku Twitter sibatshela ukuthi thina sifuna ukuzikhethela ama channel. Like, if ubhadala imali ethile ukhethe ama-channel wonke ukuthi ngifuna ukubukela le nale nale. Manje bona baza nganala ama-package wabo lawa wokuthi bakubukelisa ngenkani, ukuthi hey, ma ubhadala imali eso ubukela la ma-channel, ma ubhadala imali eso. So lezi zinto zabo Showmax ma zifika nabo Netflix ziyabawisa, cause manje abantu banama-options, cause bona zange balalela ama-customer.
SS Duma, Muntu, and Debza, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts there on your experience with platforms like MultiChoice and other streaming platforms that are available in South Africa. We always want to hear from you. Mbuso, Rifilwe, we see your thoughts. Do share them and keep them coming if you want to be like many other members of the Kaya Biz family, sharing your experience and your thoughts around the conversations we're having tonight. As mentioned, buckle up. We are about to be intrigued by our next conversation. A peculiar but rather critical career that does not only partner in terms of making sure that key stakeholders unite, see ongoing camaraderie and partnership, but also really helps to bring about harmony between different nations, different regions, and different stakeholder groups. Let's talk about a career as a diplomat.
Careers Corner on Kaya Biz.
I'm excited to speak to our guest tonight, who has a phenomenal story and a wealth of experience within diplomacy as well as international relations. The former ambassador of Turkey to South Africa, Eswatini and Lesotho. That's former ambassador Ayşegül Kandas, who joins us now on the show. Thank you so much for your patience with us on the show and appreciate you making time to speak to us, ma'am.
Thank you for hosting me. Thank you.
Fantastic. I'm excited to speak to you. And I guess for context, many people must think, hold on, you know, a diplomat on a business show. But the truth is, business and all other ties and relationships, cultural exchanges all take place on the ethos of diplomacy. And that speaks to camaraderie, partnership and an alignment of understanding. Maybe if you, in your own words, can just describe, you know, what being a diplomat is like, given your more than 3 decades of experience in this field.
Yes, I retired after 31 years. The countries that I was appointed to as a diplomat during this career were Azerbaijan, Belgium, Germany, Northern Cyprus, and lastly, South Africa. So I had a career mostly, most of my time in Ankara was spent on the European Union desk. Mm-hmm. And also being appointed to the Turkish delegation, permanent delegation to the EU in Brussels, also gave me some experience dealing with the EU. And then South Africa was my first time being appointed in Africa. When you said this thing about, you know, this show being, you know, on business, I have to say diplomacy has changed over time. Now we are talking about economic diplomacy more than before.
Yes.
Now we are talking about public diplomacy.
Yes.
We didn't deal with those, you know, like 20, 25 years ago. So now it has become a very important skill to have, actually, you know, to deal in the economic sphere and to try to develop economic bilateral economic relations between the two countries, meaning, in my case, between Turkey and South Africa. That has become a big part of our job more than before, because diplomacy mostly brings to mind political affairs, you know, international relations, political affairs. But in today's world, you have to have human-to-human relations. Culture is a big part of it.
Yes.
You know, development cooperation is a big part of it. So we actually, as diplomats, operate in all spheres of life. We have to, in order to bring two countries together. Bring them closer, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you touch on that, because that's really much of the ethos of this conversation. When we take a look at what happened between South Africa and the White House a few weeks ago, we understand the importance of diplomacy. The US and China, that also speaks to the importance of diplomacy. I know that that's not your the focus of our conversation tonight, but after having met you recently at a conference and witnessing you speak and the alignment that it had with entrepreneurs and the economic ties, this tells us something so pressing. And maybe it does speak to that shift for anyone who wants to get into international relations, that you really have to be perhaps an all-rounder, understand culture, understand politics, and understand the economics of the game. So if you take a look and advise someone right now on the potential of entering a career as a diplomat, how would you advise them to navigate that journey?
Yes, for instance, I'm teaching at universities, for instance, you know, at one of the universities teaching diplomacy and international relations. I realize that the students in that class do not really know how to get into DIRCO, how to become a diplomat, what a diplomat does. It's very important. We seem to be diplomats, seem to be a bit aloof from the public, it looks like. And so in that respect, I need to say, first of all, you need to be very curious. Curiosity is very important. Curious about other cultures, other countries. If you feel like expanding your horizon, getting to know other cultures and living in other countries and not getting to know them only as a tourist, then diplomacy, being a diplomat, is a good choice for you. But if you are more of a rooted person, if you have a rooted personality, you are very bound to your land and your family ties, then diplomacy is hard for you, because you spend 4 years in a country and then 2 years back home in the Turkish case.
Okay.
So four to all your life. So you are like a nomad. And it is very important when you are appointed to a new country, it is very important to get to know the culture, because unless you learn about the culture, and language is one way, that's why I started learning isiZulu. You can't get through the culture unless you learn about the language. That's very important. And if you don't know about the culture, you would have a hard time doing business with that country's government.
Yep.
Because every government, every country has a different culture of doing work, right? And there are many things that I can't talk about here, but I don't want to take up your time. These are the most important things, I think. Knowledge is very important. Knowledge about your own country, because you are representing your country in South Africa, let's say, and knowledge about country is very important. The other thing is really communication skills for a diplomat, because diplomacy is the last checkpoint or last exit before war, right?
Yes.
If diplomacy fails, you've got war. And if there is war, you get again resort to diplomacy, you resort to negotiations and mediation. So if you are not good at communication, how will you resolve issues? Mediation, negotiation, and conflict resolution. Big parts of our job, especially in today's world. That's why you need to get, special training in that. And then there's a difference between, for those who aspire to be diplomats, there is a difference between multilateral diplomacy and bilateral diplomacy. Mm-hmm. I've always been the one who felt more comfortable in an international setting. I did an internship at the United Nations in New York. I worked with the European Union. So it's multilateral. I found bilateral relations a bit boring. Multilateral is too many nations, too many, it's more challenging, and I felt more comfortable. But everybody has a different style. You could either do that or be posted to, a country where you have bilateral. You deal with only two countries.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm glad that you highlight that, because it does speak to the different streams and avenues that do exist. And in your particular case, you're a former ambassador of Turkey to South Africa, Eswatini and Lesotho. So that tells us about, the widespread partnerships and engagements that you had to have at a diplomatic level. What has intrigued me about you, former Ambassador Candace, is the fact that you have this passion for the continent, so much so you speak our language, so siyabonga. And beyond that, you also have partnered with local players for the growth and development of youth in South Africa, more specifically young men. Now that you are a former diplomat to this region, help us understand how this has come about, why it remains so critical, and what it is that you're doing to ensure that we prioritize the development of youth in our country.
Yes, very important. So I discovered my passion in helping people, serving humanity. You serve your government, right? Mm-hmm. After 31 years, I said, enough. Now I can continue to serve humanity. And where? In the country that I love. So I discovered this passion during my term of 4 years in Pretoria, because I had a development cooperation agency of Turkey as an instrument in my hands. I had the government funds through which we could do projects mm-hmm. in South Africa. So during those 4 years, I kept on going to the rural side and townships, and I loved it, bringing projects to the youth and the women. And then I established a women's fund myself, getting kind of tired of the bureaucracy dealing with the government funds. So I established that women's fund and started doing projects in my own private capacity. But now that I'm back here, despite all the plans, now that, I hadn't planned to stay in South Africa, but after my term ended, 3 months later, I found myself in South Africa again, because of my daughter. Yes. She's studying here. And I said, why not continue with that, which is my passion? So through the Women's Fund, we are going to the boys, because one main problem that I noticed, being in the NGO and PO sphere of South Africa, getting to know, the landscape, let's say, mm-hmm. I realized one problem, if I wanted to choose to tackle, would be GBV, mm-hmm. right? For GBV, everybody is talking. Nobody's walking the talk. Yes. Everybody knows the problems. Everybody has solutions. But where are the projects? How do we, we need to go to the boys. We need to empower the boy child. That's why I created this project called What About the Boys?
Yes.
Boys, the man, the boy child has been neglected in South Africa, and they are, let's say, the root cause, and we need to really empower them. That's why we are going to township schools mm-hmm. once a month, doing a workshop with a wonderful team of volunteer speakers. And we talk about the issues the boys are facing in that school. We partner with the principal and the teachers. We get the number one, let's say, bullying. Bullying stands out as one of the biggest problems in those schools. Bullying, drugs, crime, mm-hmm. meaning gang in some of the schools, stealing, for instance, and lots of pent-up anger in boys. Mm-hmm. I have done 11 workshops, and the 12th is this weekend in Free State, Kronstadt. So we talked to around 50 to 100 boys from 6th grade to 8th grade. This is where we need to catch them. After 8th grade, it's a bit too late. So we come with experts, talk to them about these problems, you know, so that they are heard, so that they see that they are cared for somehow. And then we talk to the parents, because the parents can be the problem sometimes.
Yeah.
So the afternoon session is with the parents. This is what the project is about. We always invite Department of Social Development, Department of Basic Education, all the colleagues that I used to work with, even Department of Environment. This is how we go about it. It is to inspire other stakeholders. Lots of people are in this sphere, lots of people, but we just need to coordinate and join forces. Yes. And inspire others to do the same.
100%.
You know?
What, yeah. I'm intrigued by, and I guess for someone who might be listening, they might think, you know, we've taken them on this journey of understanding the role of a diplomat, how to become a diplomat, the changing dynamics of diplomacy, and of course, the importance of social integration, cultural understanding. But I'm so keen to wrap it up, former ambassador, for us to get to the economic outcomes of effective and successful diplomacy. You've touched on international relations, the importance of non-profit organizations that speak to societal needs. Help us understand how this does speak to overall economic success sustainably for societies, for countries, and even their bi and multilateral relations.
Yes, the basic thing is, when you are an ambassador, you work on improving the trade and investment relations between the two countries, your country and the host country. To increase trade and investment, what do? You help the Turkish businesses, let's say, that want to come into South Africa. You help them, you know, in their whatever help they need.
Yes.
You also help South African businessmen who want to invest in Turkey, who want to trade with Turkey. Another aspect is tourism.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to push for more tourists going to your country and those coming in. So it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Tourism is one of the biggest, you know, sources of income, for instance, for Turkey. You know, for South Africa also, you need to improve tourism in the country.
Yes.
And then when you do, even development cooperation touches on economy, because we used to have at the embassy many projects dealing with SMEs, especially women SMEs.
Mm.
SMEs, as everybody says, you know, are the backbone of the economy. And if we want to empower women SMEs, it's very important to help them with projects. It's very important to establish TVET colleges in this country.
Yes.
We did establish one in Midanzane township in East London, for instance, for jewelry, a workshop, partnering with an NGO. So you need to, you know, these also help the economy. If you invest in South Africa in skills training as a government, as a foreign government, right? If you invest in SMEs, empowering SMEs, you're also helping the bilateral relations.
Yes.
You're also helping the economic relations. There are certain things that this country needs, and most of them, believe me, do not need a big budget. You know,
sure.
you need to just coordinate. You need to work with the right partners. And you see what I mean?
Yes.
You need to spend all the project money on the target people to have the impact. Even my project doesn't need much money. It's all volunteering. It just has to come from the heart. It's a community of goodness in line with the spirit of Ubuntu that we are trying to spread. And this is, I think, what an embassy or an ambassador should do, what my new colleague, the new Turkish ambassador in South Africa, is continuing to do. So this is how we advance relations. We have to touch human lives, whether they are businessmen or the people in the rural side, the disadvantaged of South Africa.
Yeah.
And I want to say one word, if you allow me, just one thing that I really believe in.
Yes.
If you allow me.
Sure.
I love to have corporate South Africa be more consciously, more responsibly involved in CSI work, community social investment projects. Mm-hmm. They should not do it just to tick the box, and they should allocate more than 1% of their profits to really community projects. Mm. There's a lot of wealth in South Africa. Let's pour some of it into impactful projects in the rural side and townships, please. It shouldn't be only the NGOs.
Got you. And I think a valid point, especially given the kind of economy we come from in South Africa, where there's a lot of unemployment, levels of underdevelopment, and of course, making sure that we eradicate inequality in an effective manner. Former Ambassador, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. Really appreciate it. Siyabonga kakhulu, former Ambassador Candace.
Siyabonga.
Safe travels back to Turkey, and looking forward to seeing you back in what will hopefully be a warmer South Africa by the time you come back, right?
Yes, coming back in July. Thank you.
Fantastic. Hope to see you again. That was our conversation, talking about all things around the career of diplomacy and international relations, but also understanding the business side of it all. That was former Ambassador of Turkey to South Africa, Eswatini and Lesotho, former Ambassador Ayishegu Candace.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.